We want to welcome you here this morning. It's a special day. We want to honor our graduates, and we have them from several different ages. And if you didn't get a bulletin and have a sheet that tells about them, be sure and pick up one as you leave. First one is Carson Vance Barbie, son of Jeremy and Shelby Barbie, grandson of McCord and Jeanette Barbie, Debbie Mullis Pig, and the late Jim Mullis. He's a graduate of Carolina Christian Preschool. So, Carson, we have a bag for you. Yay! And then Charlie Bain Stroop is not with us today, but son of Evan and Michelle Stroop, grandson of Gary and Tonda Hamilton, Tobin and Wendy Stroop, graduate of Quality Daycare Pre-K. So next time you see Charlie, say something to him about being a graduate. Then Avery McLean Hartzell, daughter of Grant and Aaron Hartzell, granddaughter of Kenny and Rita Linker, Betty Hartzell and the late Sonny Hartzell, fifth grade graduate of Unionville Elementary School. And we have a bag for you. Make sure I give you the right one. And then the big one. I remember 4 years ago, he was just a little kid, and all of a sudden, he's bigger than me. Christopher Bryant Barbie, son of Wesley and Angela Barbie, brother of Michael Barbie, grandson of McCord and Jeanette Barbie, and Howard and the late Janice Good, a graduate of Carolina Christian School. And I know God's got a great future for you, a blessing. And we've got a gift bag for you as well.
I just want to start out saying thank you to everyone who's helped me all through all these years, especially my parents, because they've shown me unconditional love and they showed me how to live life as a God-fearing Christian. That's it. Thank y'all.
We welcome you all to the service, whether you're in the parking lot, whether you're here, whether you're listening later on the website. Had a good Sunday school this morning, good worship class congregation today. And we just thank you for being here. Those that are visiting, we want you to know you're welcome. Amen. They put up somebody here that belongs to me and Pamela. That's our granddaughter in Oregon, Madeline. And she graduates from high school this year. So
Today.
I'm glad she looks more like her grandma than she looked like her grandpa. Amen. She'll be going to the University of Oregon next year, which is just about as far from here, from their house, as from here to Kenny and Rita. So she can be a day student, I think.
She won a 4-year scholarship.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's pray together for a moment. Father, as we bow before you, thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of worship. Thank you for every person that's gathered here in your house. And Father, I just pray your blessings upon each one. And Lord, for these three, or really four, that are the graduates, each one making a new step to a higher grade, to a different stage of life, I pray for the parents as they guide and direct and counsel and encourage. I pray for the graduates as they learn and as they grow. Father, I pray your anointing upon them as they seek to become all that you would have them to be. And Lord, I know that you have a special plan for each one of them. And I pray now, Father, that they might discover that plan, that as you reveal it, they'll accept it and walk in the steps of Jesus. Lord, that when they come to end of life, they'll be able to say, what a fantastic time I had walking with my Savior. Lord, may your blessings be upon them and upon their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all can go and sit with your families. Thank you.
Congratulations to all of the graduates. Chris, I remember when your dad walked down here and did that. And it's days like this, I feel about 3 days older than baseball. But it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to see these young people complete the high school education and college will be waiting. I tell you, while we're doing this, I want to recognize our birthdays. We've got birthdays to be recognized for the month of June and also anniversaries. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of folks that were married in June. That's the month, right? So anyway, I'm going to recognize the birthdays first, as usual, for the month of June. Charlie Stroop, June the 4th. Pat Burgess, June the 7th. Adlin Hartzell, June the 6th. Hunter Udy, June the 6th. Zach Snyder, June the 6th. Avery Hartzell, June the 14th. Gary Hamilton, June the 15th. Kathy High, June the 16th. Angela Harville, June the 17th. Marie Burris, June the 20th. Jeanette Barbie, June the 22nd. Samantha Talley, June the 23rd. And Shirley Edwards, June the 27th. Have I missed anyone? If not, if you'll give me a key.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And then our anniversaries, and there's a lot of folks here. Ted and Bonnie Barbie, June the 1st. Jeff and Lori Keplinger, June the 9th. I noticed Lori's not with you today, Jeff. I don't know why. No, I do too. I'm teasing you. No, Lori's visiting family, and I think that's wonderful. We'll pray for her traveling mercy. Doug and Christine Sasser, June the 14th. Jeffrey and Leah Swink, June the 21st. Grant and Aaron Hartzell, June the 23rd. Charles and Jewel Hatley, June the 23rd. Ann Barbie and Marvin Meggs, June the 24th. David and Stacy Talley, June the 25th. How many years, David?
30.
You notice I don't mind putting him on the spot. He would me. Congratulations to all the anniversaries. All right, let's have our hymn sing now. I like to have a hymn sing every Sunday. And if you would, you can see it up on the board. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And we're going to do verses 1, 2, and 4 as we stand and sing, please, together. He leadeth me, O blessed thought.
Blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. our troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful Father I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
And everybody said, amen. Now, before you sit down, welcome somebody this morning to church. Do that for me. We do have an excellent crowd this morning, and I'm very, very pleased with that. It's so nice to see you all back. It's so nice to see us back and prioritizing our time to be in the Lord's house. Beautiful. I have some announcements for you this morning that I want to share with you. Sunday school, of course, was started today, and if you weren't here, boy, oh boy, we'd like to have you here next Sunday. How's that? And it certainly was a nice-looking group this morning for Sunday school. It was a great kickoff time. It's good to see you here. So remember, we're going to continue now. There'll be no in the sanctuary. Open. Sorry, what am I trying to say? It's assembly. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Like I told you, I'm old. But assembly, there will be no assembly. So just when you get here at 9 o'clock, just go to your class or stay here in the sanctuary. The adult 2 and 3 will meet in the sanctuary, and the rest in the fellowship hall. The number 1 will be in the fellowship hall, and all other classes in the normal place, okay? The worship service will continue on as we're doing it at 10. So that's wonderful. We'll still have our parking lot available. And Wes tells me also that our Sunday school can also be available in the parking lot facility, as long as we use the mic as we did this morning. So keep that in mind. If someone would like to come and have Sunday school there in the parking lot, that's possible as well through 99.1. And, of course, the website will be available to all of you for the service. And also, I guess the web, you could put Wes, there's even the Sunday school on the web if you chose to do so. But either way, it'll all be available to you on the website. I'm not going to put more work on you, so we'll talk about that later, Wes. It's just a thought I had, probably not a good one, but I'm bad for that. I think about things like that, and then Wes was giving me that, are you kidding me? Look, he really was. I do believe if I would go to him and say we need to do it, it'd be done. Don't you? Yeah, I believe that's how good he is. And you too, Jeff K. All right, so that's keep that in mind. And then Sunday, there's today's bulletin, it says next Sunday there'll be no evening services. Well, there will be. The Singing Towers will be here, and we're going to do a service that we're going to honor Heath Hahn as 94-year-old bass singer. And so we're going to try our best to do that next Sunday. Terry Burris, who had some thoughts that we may not be able to do it, is doing much better. And we'll talk about him in a little bit in our prayer time. Workday, next Saturday, June the 12th. Right, Gary? It's the 12th. I'm not going to say anything, Gary. If you watch me this morning, I have no reason at all to kid anybody for making a mistake. Well, that's fine. We were looking for the sausage biscuits. That was it. But no, Gary, I thank you very much for leading out in this effort. We appreciate it so much.
He was just doing practice runs.
I was waiting on you up there, big guy. Okay. Let's talk about the Building and Grounds Committee. It still needs your input and suggestions as to improvements here at the church, so please keep those coming into the Building and Grounds, please. Also, there's a great big thank you involved here for the Baptist men. Jeff Kay, you want to expound upon that, please. The Baptist men's barbecue, the total, and all that.
Yes, looks like we cleared about 1,300. I don't have the exact number, but thanks to all that supported it and to all that helped do all the work and selling tickets and everything.
Yeah.
It was successful.
Very good. Thank everyone. Wonderful. Great. Okay. Any other announcements that I may have missed or I need to add? Oh, yes. Thank you, sir. Wednesday night service. We continue with Wednesday night services at 6:30. So be here in your place. I'll skip that one, but I didn't mean to. Wednesday night, 6:30. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Let's go now to the prayer request. I mentioned Terry a while ago, Terry Burris. He had heart stent surgery, and the surgery was successful, and he is home now, and so he is fully intending to be able to do the service next Sunday night here at the church. Let's remember the Harold Floyd family. Harold passed away. I know you all know Harold Floyd, and is one of the great men in our community. I thought the world of Harold. Let's remember Lori Keplinger as she is in traveling to visit the families and over in Montana, Oregon, Colorado. I'm all around it, right? Colorado. Okay. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, isn't it? Okay. I shouldn't be doing this in the prayer request. It's too serious, but I mean, I just mess up sometimes. That's all. But anyway, we'll pray for Lori and her traveling mercy. Let's do that. Let's remember Mike Evans in prayer team. He's asked for us to remember Israel. And Pamela, I know you mentioned this to me. Israel is going through a very, very difficult time right now. And that's God's people there, and I believe his covenant's still strong, don't you? So let's remember and pray for Israel. Let's pray for Neil Jackman. Neil is convalescing and doing some better, but we're hoping for rehab for her, right, Kathy? Would you like to speak to that, Kathy? That's wonderful.
She's still in the hospital. She will be in the hospital until released from the facility. So she's at Stanley Room 413.
Okay.
She can't have visitors. They only allow people a day right now. Lisa and I are there because she's not the easiest patient. But she is, well, yeah, she worked in medical for all her life. But she's doing really good with everything. Room 413, you can call her. Which would be fine, or you can call her, Lisa, or myself, and we can patch it through to her. Cards would be good. But she appreciates all of that.
Okay. Now, are there others? Yes.
I have a praise report.
Okay, Robert.
My niece, Nicole Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Had on the,
yes, you have. Yes.
She has been accepted into this. She's got her sponsorship into this new
trial
program.
Okay, all right. That's Nicole Johnson. Okay. Yes, Will?
I would like to, I don't know if I requested this last time or not, but I would like to pray for the family of Vivian Barnett.
Yeah, she's on here, the Virginia Hancock.
I was trying to look through that. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, McCord. Kevin Eford. Okay. Yes. Yes. Anyone? Yes, Stacy. Lavinia Burleson. Okay. Yes, Eve. Kathy. Okay. Okay. Anywhere else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. And Lord, as so many times before I ask for anything, Lord, just say thank you. From the depths of our heart, we thank you. As I look over this building today and I see the numbers of people who are here today and want to be a part of worship, it makes my heart rejoice. And Lord, I'm so thankful for each and every one. And I ask your blessings upon us. I pray for our service today. I pray for Kathy as she'll come and minister to us shortly. For Pastor Ed, Lord, we lift him up to you, Lord, as he comes and delivers the word to us today. Well, thank you for him and ask your guidance with him today. But then, Lord, there are those that have been mentioned specifically that we want to remember. We pray for Brother Terry Burris, Lord, as he is convalescing from stent surgery. We thank you for the blessings you've already extended to him. We ask you continue to bless him. For the Harold Floyd family, Lord, as they've lost their love, their father. We pray for that family today. We pray for Lori, and Lori, as she's traveling today to visit her daughter and her son. We pray, Lord, for them today and her grandson. We pray for Lori. We pray for traveling mercy for her. Lord, we want to lift up Israel to you today. Lord, we know those people are faithful, and we pray for them as they're going through trials and tribulations. We pray a special blessing upon Neil Jackman, as we've been asked to pray for a rehab for her, a time that she can get better and she can convalesce and be made whole again. We're thankful, Lord, for the praise report we've heard from Nicole Johnson. We thank you for that trial that she's been entered into. We pray for the Kevin Eford family, or Kevin Eford. We lift him up to you today. For Howard Good, Lord, we pray for him. Lord, there's the need that he has, Lord, which we fit a blessing to his heart and to his life. Lavinia Burleson, we pray for her. We lift her up. For Kathy, as she is having surgery, we pray for her. And now, Lord, we ask now, Lord, as we continue on with this service today, help us to be very careful and very, very thankful for the blessings you do. And, Lord, we make this prayer to you in the name of your Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Kathy, if you would come and visit.
The song I chose to sing this morning, there's a piece of fuzz on there. The song I chose to sing this morning is a hard one for me because I can't get through it without crying. So I'm not going to look at you today as I sing it. But for Christopher, for Avery, for Carson, for Charlie, for Madeline, for all of our graduates, I want you to take these words and live by them, and hopefully you'll reach out to us if you need anything. We're here for you as you begin your new adventure, and if we can do anything for you, please let us know. We love you, and we're praying for you, for all of you.
For a moment you were mine to hold, the plan things that heaven has for you will someday be unfold. So many prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. Most of all, I want you to know. And if I never told you, I want you to know. As I watch you grow, I pray that God will fill your heart with dreams, and faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days. May conviction keep you strong and guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so sweet. Oh, but more than memories, I pray that God will fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. It's not living if you don't reach for the sky. I'll have tears as you take off, but I'll cheer. Dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you.
Don't you wish you had that much energy? Some of us. Thank you, Kathy. That was a blessing. I finished my sermon and then I thought, well, you know, we hadn't had Sunday school. Maybe I better make sure I didn't preach the same scripture that Sunday school. Unless I've done that before. I went to a church that preached a homecoming one time and found out that their Sunday school quarterly was exactly the scripture that I've chosen to preach, but it's similar. What I want to say today is just similar. Maybe I can underline a few things that were said in Sunday school. What is faith? Faith is knowing the word and will of God. You build on faith by believing the word and the will of God. You further build faith by saying the word and will of God. You further build on it by acting upon the word and will of God. And it comes to completion when you stand firm on the will of God, and it comes to pass. Now, I can say those words and it sounds real easy, but you know and I know in real life it's not that easy. It's just not like cherries falling off of a tree. It doesn't happen that easy. In real life, faith can be a struggle. In real life, faith can be a time of trouble. That's why the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, what's a good fight? It's the one you win. It's the one you win. And the reason we have such a difficult time is because the devil has a bag of tools, tricks, lies that he likes to use to trip up our faith and to trip up our walk with God. And one of those tools is discouragement. And he uses it really, really often. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or stand up or anything about that. How many of you have ever been discouraged about your health? You had things going on in your body that just discouraged you? How many of you have been discouraged about your financial situation from time to time? Too much month and not enough money. Ever been discouraged about your job? You didn't get the promotion you wanted and deserved? You ever been discouraged about your lack or slowness of spiritual growth? You think, well, you know, I ought to be a better Christian by now. You ever been discouraged about, as a Sunday school teacher, maybe the condition of your Sunday school class? It didn't grow like you wanted it to grow. The folks came and sat there with sort of a blank look on their face. You ever been discouraged about the condition in our nation? You looked at the newspaper, you watched the news, and you saw what a discouraging situation many, many aspects of our national life was. You ever get discouraged about your church? Church not growing? Church maybe declining? Church growing slowly. There are a lot of insurance salesmen and used car salesmen that used to be preachers. They just got discouraged and quit. Or maybe there's something else other than those two professions, but the ones I've known have sort of gravitated that way. It's easy to be discouraged. You see, the devil likes to come to us and discourage us. He likes us to give up and quit. And we pray about some of these things and we work and we still don't seem to make the progress that we'd like to make. And so the devil comes to us and tries to discourage us from doing what we ought to do. That's why something that Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians 15, I need to hear this at least once a week. Be good for all of us to type this out or write this out and start to say stick it on the mirror where you do your makeup or shave, but if you like it in my house, you better put it on the refrigerator because you go there more often than you go anywhere else. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what Paul encouraged us to do? Be thankful. Be thankful for Jesus. Be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be thankful for the power of God. Be thankful that God lets you be a part of reaching the world for Jesus. You know, it's a lot more fun in anything when we're active and a part. I never did like to be a part of a ball team where I sat on the bench. I wanted to play. And sometimes I might have been one of the better players, and sometimes I should have been on the bench. But I still wanted to play. Be thankful that God puts you in the game. That every day He gives you opportunities to witness, to set a godly example, to encourage someone, as Leonard said a few moments ago. How many people need encouragement? I'm thinking about a little lady that was up at Prospect. I think I've mentioned her before. And, you know, when I was a 37-year-old pastor, I thought she was old. She might not have been any older than I am now. I don't know. But on your birthday, you could be sure that she was going to call you. And she'd say, I don't have any money to give you, but I want you to wish you happy birthday and tell you I love you. An encouragement. Now, some of the people in the church probably got presents and other gifts and other phone calls and cards, but some probably, her phone call was the only thing they got that encouraged them. Be thankful that the Lord put you in the game. Second thing He tells you is be steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable. Flip, now keep your hand there because we're coming back to Corinthians, but flip over to Ephesians 6. And we're not going to preach on these verses, but just mention something that's in them. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, he just, over and over in there, he says, stand, stand, stand. We have to stand against the devil. I think back to some of those old Andy Griffith shows where the bully tries to pick on Opie. And Opie had to just learn to say, no, you're not taking my nickel for my milk money anymore. Some of you remember that show. And when it's over with, he got his nickel back and some more. But you know, there's the devil wants to discourage you. The devil wants you to give up and quit. And we have to learn to stand. Did you catch the sequence there of faith? We know the will of God, the word of God. We believe it. We say it. We act upon it. And we stand till it comes to pass. There comes times in your life when the only thing that really matters is just taking a stand and standing. Now you'd think with putting on all that armor, you're going to have a fight. But sometimes all you have to do is just stand. He said, be steadfast and unmovable. I'm not going anywhere. I'm king of the mountain. And you're not taking my place. Devil, just forget it. And then I like what he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now I think about a couple of things here. Notice he said, you abound in what? The work of the Lord. We have to be careful. It's so easy to make my plans and say, now, Lord, this is what I want to do. Bless it. And, you know, for you as graduates, this is my plan for life. Bless it. Well, but what if that isn't God's plan? I never expected to be a pastor for 50 years. That wasn't my plan. I was going to be over at Wingate or somewhere teaching Bible. Didn't happen. That wasn't God's plan. You have to be in God's plan. He said, abound what? In God's work. Now, there, we have our wishes and we have our dreams and we have our hopes, but all of the time we're seeking, Lord, you direct my path. You direct my steps so that we come to the place where we know this is God's will. Now, as I texted somebody last week who's sort of concerned, she's just gone into retirement. She's in good health. And she says, I'm worried about the rest of my life. And I texted back and told her, said, listen, God's not likely to show you the next 30 years of your life, but he will show you a little bit of it at a time. Now, if you've got a flashlight, you can do way on down that road, but back in the old days when you were just using a lantern, that's about much light you had. But when you got to that point and held that lantern out, you got that much more light. And most of the time, that's the way God works with us. He may give us a vague, long-range goal, but the Lord makes direction. And as we step and step and step, what did the psalmist say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word, God's way. He says, abound in the work of the Lord. Now, when you talk about abounding, that's a word that means run over, extra. You know, the devil comes to you and says, why don't you quit? Say, no, Mr. Devil, I believe I'll do more. You can really frustrate him. Did you know that? He comes to you and he says, you can't afford to give $50. Well, Mr. Devil, I believe, you know, I can't really afford to give 50, but now that you brought it up, I believe I'll give 100. You don't have time to pray 30 minutes. Well, I may not, but now that you brought it up, I believe I'll pray an hour. You don't have time to call somebody and encourage them. Well, now that you mention, I think of three more people I believe I'll call. It won't take long and he'll give up. He'll say, this is not working because you're abounding in the work of the Lord and he's trying to discourage you and you use that as an excuse to do even more. And all of a sudden, he's saying, you know, I believe I'm going to leave them alone for a little while. Now, that doesn't mean he's not coming back, because you remember in the Bible where Jesus had the temptations after they were over with, it says the devil left him, what, for a season. That doesn't mean he only tempted Jesus once in the wilderness and that was the end of it. He tempted him at other times, but He just left him alone after a while. He says, abound. He says, you know, we're thankful. We stand fast. And we abound in the work of the Lord. And when we do that, what does he tell us happens? God gives the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God that gives the victory. No other name but Jesus. God gives the victory. Now, I think if you look at the Bible and just think about it for a few moments, we have our part, but it's God that provides the power. And Moses and the children of Israel standing there at the Red Sea, Moses said, God, what are we going to do? God said, stick out your rod. Once Moses stuck out the rod, God parted the sea. Moses didn't part the sea. Moses was just obedient and stuck out the rod. God parted the sea. When they got to Jericho, God says, you march around the wall 7 times, and then on the last day, march around 7 days for 6 days, and then 7 days. Israel marched around the wall. God caused the wall to fall. Joshua prayed, and the sun and moon stood still. Elijah prayed, the fire of God fell, and then he prayed again and the rain fell. You see, man, followers of the Lord, were obedient to the Lord, obedient to the word of God, and God's power intervened. God gave the victory. Over the New Testament, you have Peter and John meeting the crippled man as they go into the temple for a time of prayer. They took his hand. They said, we don't have any money, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And they pulled him up, and God healed him. They did their part. They did what God told them to do. And God's power came upon the scene and did that which they could not do. Thanks be to God, which gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, when the devil comes to discourage you, when the devil comes to try to get you to give up and quit, just be reminded, steadfast, abound to the work of the Lord, be thankful, obedient, and God's power is going to show up and do that which you cannot do. And God's going to accomplish his purpose. And then that wonderful, wonderful conclusion, the end of it, abound in the work of the Lord for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Boy, that's good news. That's encouraging news. That which you do is not in vain in the Lord. It's going to make a difference. Your sacrifices, your giving, your witnessing, your sharing, your being forgiving, your loving, your ministry is going to make a difference. It's not in vain in the Lord. It's not useless. It's not worthless. Got a phone call yesterday afternoon from Vicki King, that dear friend of mine and Pamela's had passed away. Vicki and Alan had been looking after her for several years. Ree was a youth leader. She and her husband Johnny, when Pamela and I were teenagers over at West Albemarle. they weren't much older than we were. Maybe 6 to 8, maybe 10 years, somewhere, you know. Not a whole lot older than we were, that teenage group. And I'm sure at times the devil told them, says, why in the world do you keep messing with this bunch of teenagers? We had church training at youth group at 6 o'clock, church at 7. And then many a time in the summer, we'd go over to their house and sit around in the living room and talk about the Lord and talk about things that were important to teenagers. I remember she and I can't remember another adult. I know that there was not a man because I drove the church bus and I was probably 17. Can't do that anymore, but back then I could. To a state youth convention. And I remember Pamela and I and others sitting around in the motel room talking about the Lord and talking about life and things that were so important. And I'm sure the devil tried to discourage her. But when I think about the kids that were in that youth group, pastor, pastor's wife, deacons, deacon's wife, other church leaders, not every kid in the group turned out great, but so many of them did. Her labor was not in vain in the Lord. And some of you who've been a part of older ones who've been a part of church life for a long time, you can think about, yes, over there is a kid that I had a chance to minister to when they were small. Over there is another one, and over there is another one. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God has blessings for you when you don't give up and quit. Oh, how fantastic it is to know God's in control. And if the devil could get us to give up and just chuck it all, he would. There are hard times. There are difficult times. There are times when we have to make hard choices. But faithfulness has its reward. And one day, we hear that beautiful word from our Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Like I said, I need to remember that scripture very regularly. Because there are times when the devil comes and says, it's not working. And I just have to say, no, Mr. Devil, I may not see it working right now, but I know that there's somebody still on the throne, still working it out, still bringing glory. And I thank the Lord for that. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If there's someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you just walk down the aisle and do that? Share that with me. If you need to come to the altar and rededicate your life, or maybe you're one of the ones that the devil's tried to discourage about your walk with God or the ministry that you have, would you just renew that commitment, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. that's such a good song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. All friends, be encouraged. Be encouraged that God's on the throne and those who serve Him will be blessed. Father, I thank You for those who've gathered here today to worship. I thank You for all that have given me such special attention as I've tried to share the Word of God. But Lord, I thank You that You give the victory as we follow You. Lord, the victory is not ours to produce. You produce the victory. You divide the seas and tear down the walls and heal the brokenhearted and the sick. The victory is Yours. Thank You for letting us be a part of it. Now I pray that the Lord will bless you, the Lord will keep you, the Lord will make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all for coming and be blessed.